Well, turn, if you will, in your Bibles to Amos chapter 7. Amos chapter 7, found on page 977 of your pew Bibles. Amos chapter 7, beginning with verse 10 through verse 17. Then Amaziah, the priest of Bethel, sent to Jeroboam, king of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from his land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go. Flee away to the land of Judah and eat bread there and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and it is a temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore figs. But the Lord took me from following the flock. And the Lord said to me, Go prophesy to my people Israel. Now therefore hear the word of the Lord. You say, Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac. Therefore, thus says the Lord, Your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword, and your land shall be divided up with a measuring line. You yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land. So we come to this portion of the prophecy of Amos. We're going to be looking at three things this evening. One, and first off, we're going to be looking at the accusation that is leveled against the prophet of God. Second, we'll be looking at that accusation of Amaziah as he would attribute to Amos that he was merely a prophet for hire. And we'll look at the matter of call versus career. And thirdly, we'll look at God's judgment upon that priest who would not hear the word of God. So as we look at this evening, it begins with pressure being exerted against that instrument of God, Amos. And it comes from a priest. Amaziah is likely the high priest who is serving at Bethel. But Amaziah is not rightly a priest. And in fact, this is one of those things that was held out against Jeroboam as an evidence of his sinfulness and a justification for that warning of God that was given to him of the destruction that was to come upon his house. Because we learn in 1 Kings chapter 13 that Jeroboam, as he was seeking in order to establish those high places, to establish a place of worship that was not ordained of God, would take anyone who was willing to serve. You see, we learn something of the nature of the heart of Jeroboam as we see that he cared not for the direction given specifically by God as to who it was that was set forth to serve him, just as he didn't give any thought to God's direction as to where his people were to worship. And so Amaziah is one of those who availed themselves of the advertisement put forth by Jeroboam, "We need priests," and who was established to serve in that place at Bethel. And we learn something of the nature of Amaziah as we see him here begin to cast aspersions and to accuse Amos. We see what is at the heart or the center of Amaziah's desire. He was in the service of the king, and his concern was not for God, but was for Jeroboam and for the kingdom. And so he goes to Jeroboam, this one who is to be a servant, a priest, and he seeks to manipulate Jeroboam, to unsettle Jeroboam, as he would accuse Amos. He comes into the presence of the king of Israel and he says to him, "Amos has conspired against you in the midst of Israel." Nothing would evoke more fear in the heart of a king than to know that his enemy was not merely at the border, but had infiltrated, had come into the midst of his country, and there was seeking to unsettle things and to threaten his reign. Amaziah knew this, and so Amaziah's words were chosen carefully in order that it might so unsettle Jeroboam. "Amos has conspired against you." And yet we know that the task that God had given to Amos was to bring that warning from God. For what purpose? Not necessarily to see the government overthrown, to see Israel defeated, but to see that rebellious people repent of their sin, turn away from it, and return to him. It was a loving act of God to send his prophet to go that extra distance that they might be made aware of their peril, to awaken them to the fact that their sins, their practices, would soon lead to his judgment, lest they repent. And so we see in his accusation this desire to cast aspersions on God's instrument, Amos, and to feign some kind of care and concern for the land, to impress upon Jeroboam his commitment not only to him as king, but his concern that he bleeds Israel, as he describes how his heart is torn that Amos would come into their midst and would bear these strong words of condemnation, threatening a nation that was otherwise economically secure and enjoying peace, and thought that they were carrying out a form of religious enterprise and exercise that certainly God would be pleased with. He says, "The land is not able to bear all his words. Oh, king, if for no other reason, do it for this. The people can't stand up under it." We've seen this used of God's servants, haven't we, when warnings have been given, and we have seen the likes of Moses pleading with God when his people have acted rebelliously, And they say, God, have mercy on them, for they cannot stand up under it. But Amaziah's concern does not put him at the foot of the throne of God. Amaziah's concern here is he thinks of the people of Israel as weak and unable to bear this. And yet we see the darkness of his heart, that what he would rather see the people of Israel do is continue in all of those things that has brought forth this prophet of God and has caused God to give the warnings that he has of the coming disaster, of the prospect of a king being struck down by the sword, and of a people scattered, taken out of that land that was to be for them a foretaste of heaven, that was to be for them a place of peace. And yet it was their sin that was to rob them of all those good things. And we see here in Amaziah that greater desire to maintain the status quo and to continue. It moves us into the second part of this. We see that Amaziah levels another charge against Amos. He accuses Amos of basically being in it for the money, of being a prophet for hire. And isn't it interesting that Amaziah, this unsuitable, unrighteous one who is acting as a religious leader in Israel, accuses Amos of the very thing that he is himself guilty of? If there was anyone who was a servant for hire, a priest for hire, it was Amaziah who had responded to the call of Jeroboam, who wasn't suited to it and clearly wasn't led by the word of God, or he'd have known he had no right to occupy that office and to minister in any name, let alone that of our Creator God. He accuses Amos of being self-seeking. Why are you here, Amos? Are you here in order to fill your belly? Are you here in order to enrich yourself? Go home. Go back to where you came from. We have no room for what you're peddling here. And we see how desperate is the situation in Israel. How darkened is their understanding. How consumed they are in their sin, that they want nothing to do with the word of God or his messengers. And finally, we come to the response of Amos. Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, nor am I a prophet's son. He says, Amaziah, I am not doing this out of professional preparations. I'm not doing this as a self-sought career. I was a shepherd. I tended a garden. I wasn't of the school of the prophets. But it was God who called upon me. It was the word of God that came to me. And we see something of the courage and strength that God commends to his people, that he wishes that we, each one of us, would manifest in our days as we are followers of Christ, that we would not be respecters of mere men's words, but that we would fear the word of God above the words of men. Here is Amos putting an end to the foolishness of the tongue of Amaziah as he impresses upon him, God spoke and I went. God gave to me a message, and nothing that you or Jeroboam can do would keep me from conveying that which our loving God has given me to say. Soon we're going to come to another of the minor prophets, and we'll see his response to the word of God coming to him is not of this bent. When we come to the book of Jonah and we see God approaches Jonah and gives to him a word to go into Nineveh and there to preach to them and to tell them of the judgment that is soon to come upon them. And we see that even a prophet of God can act wrongly, can be absent of courage, and can flee from God. But that's not the example that we find here with this simple shepherd. And that makes this all the more impressive as we look at this passage and we realize the position occupied by Amaziah, wrong as it is, was in the eyes of those in Israel the highest religious office of the land. And yet how dark he is in his understanding. How consumed he is in his sin, and how his allegiance is to the kingdom and to the king rather than to God. He says, "The Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, 'Go prophesy to my people Israel.' And though you do not want to hear it," Amos says, "therefore hear the word of the Lord." We see that commitment of his instrument, Amos, to continue as he has been commanded by God to declare his word and warning to Israel. You may think, well, what purpose does this have for me today? I'm not a prophet of God, but you are an instrument of God. In fact, you are the chosen instruments of God to bear witness to the truth, to look for those opportunities that God may use you to speak of Christ. And we start within the confines of our home with those whom we know and we love. And we declare Christ to them. And we seek to instruct them in God's word, that they may benefit from that which he has so lovingly preserved, and that he might be pleased to make effective within them, that they might understand and obey. But he's also called us to speak to those who are around us, to see in those who are our neighbors, our co-workers, our fellow students, fellow image bearers of God, in need of a Savior, in need of reminding of the supremacy of the Word of God, the sufficiency of it, lest they rely upon their own strength and understanding, lest they succumb to the pressures exerted by our culture, our society, even our places of employment against us. And so we have, even with the example of God's servant Amos, that reminder to care more for the Word of God, to believe in that one who was pleased to send his Son that we might not perish. He's given us new life. Why? That we might go from being disobedient to being obedient servants, laboring for the glory of our right King, Jesus Christ. And so Amos reiterates that message to Amaziah, that one who wished his ears were stopped up entirely. And he says, "You say, 'Do not prophesy against Israel, and do not preach against the house of Isaac.'" And God gives to Amos another word, another warning, this time to that one who feigned himself religious. He gives the following to Amaziah: "Your wife shall be a prostitute in the city, and your sons and your daughters shall fall by the sword. And your land shall be divided up with a measuring line, and you yourself shall die in an unclean land, and Israel shall surely go into exile away from its land." He says, you thought the first word that was spoken in warning by God was too great. Let me make it a little clearer for you. In your sin, this is the penalty of God. All those things for which you have put your hope, your trust, your pride, your security will be utterly destroyed, utterly ruined. From that one with whom you have your greatest intimacy, left destitute and abandoned. To those in whom you put your hope, those who would come after you, your children, will be destroyed. And that which is your lasting heritage, the land, will be taken from you. This is a pretty powerful condemnation by God to this one who feigns himself religious, who thinks himself a faithful servant of the kingdom, of the hardship that will come. And, oh, by the way, Amaziah, you too will be taken away. You'll be one of the captives that will be led out of the land where you will die. And Israel will follow after. You see, Amos is under compulsion. Amos is an obedient servant and messenger of God. And no amount of pressure exerted from the state or exerted by this one who feigns some religious superiority will supersede that word given him by God. Do we treasure God's word? Do we value it as we ought? Do we rely upon it? Or do we look elsewhere? Amos trusted God. And in his faith in God, did what God had commanded him to do. Wasn't easy. Wasn't without hardship and threatening. But he went forth in obedience, knowing that the warnings of God were another of those wonderful acts of a God who cares for his creature and would have them repent and return to him. Let's look to him in prayer. Almighty God, again, we thank you. For Lord, your word shows us and reminds us of the difficulties and challenges that arise within this life. of how in sin, Lord, we do not want to hear your voice. We do not want to be reminded of our error and our sin. For Lord, when we were still in the darkness of our sin, of that sin nature, we truly were at war with you. And we get a glimpse of that warring spirit this evening as we see Israel reject your word, not want that which you are offering, and who would send your beloved servants away. O Lord, guard us from such folly. Lord, impress upon our hearts and our minds both our need for your word and our appreciation of your word. Lord, when we are contending with difficult things, we would not rest upon ourselves, but we would seek you and the answers that you would supply us in all matters of faith and life that you have lovingly preserved for us within your word. Oh Lord, how easy it is to want to succumb to the efforts to cow us, to make us fearful of the threatenings of mere men. And Lord, as we see a culture that is moving into a season of great darkness, that is running headlong toward disaster as they are giving up those things which you have so clearly defined in the folly and darkness of their hearts and their minds. Lord, may we stand fast, resolute, because we fear God more than man. Lord, preserve and protect your church, but use your church as instruments in your hand to speak, proclaim the Lord Jesus Christ until he comes. Turn our nation from its darkness and disobedience and rebellion, as only you can. Lord, we pray all of these things in our mighty Savior's name, that of Jesus Christ. Amen.